Wheat market leading a mixed trade on Tuesday. This is the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Joining us now for the market wrap-up, Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. And Mike, a little bit of a turnaround Tuesday with this wheat complex trying to help pull corded soybeans higher, but kind of mixed action there. What are you tracking in terms of some of the positivity in this wheat complex today?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot at the wheat, I think, Jesse, because we did see Russia's ag ministry come out with a surprise production cut on their wheat crop. And what was more surprising was they took their exports down 2 million tons. That is key because USDA in their recent WASDE report just took Russia's exports up to 46 million tons. And so Russia's saying, no, it's going to be more like 43, 44. So they're going a different direction. Kind of puts the kibosh in the end to the big crop gets bigger mindset. Europe's wheat futures reacted very nicely to that. Our wheat futures reacted very nicely to that. And technically speaking, we've got something to build upon as we go into the close on Tuesday's trade. We've got the best trade in lead month soft red wheat since July 11th, being able to get up to 552 and three quarters. So the question then becomes, does the trade then put that together with the 2-point drop in good to excellent spring wheat conditions and the 2-point drop in the good to excellent soybean conditions and tries to make a run to the upside and find some short covering where wheat and beans then pull corn back up? Obviously, corn's still dealing with the best crop conditions since 2016. So that's kind of how the lay of the land looks on Tuesday. The only thing I would finally say about this is we've got rain on the radar screen. The midday model maps, at least the GFS models, suggesting more rain coming from some key dry areas of the Dakotas and the I states in the next 5 days, Illinois, Indiana, and western Ohio especially.
What about thoughts on trade and tariffs and more? And I know that August 1 date is right around the corner here. A little bit of chatter of that maybe having some impacts here in the broader trade. Anything there? It just doesn't feel like there's a lot of fresh new news, at least here early this week.
No, I agree. And I've told clients and subscribers as of last weekend that and early this week that if we don't have a higher close this week, I will be disappointed because I have a lot of expectations that we're going to have to see some trade details come out this week. And that goes back to just this morning, the Secretary of Treasury, Bessent, came out in a couple different interviews. One interview, he specifically said that they would see a rash of trade deals to be announced. We've got Japan coming back over here now for an eighth time to negotiate trade deals. It's the first time since their weekend election in Japan. And the Secretary of Treasury is now saying this afternoon they will meet with Japan next week. So I feel as though we really need some hard details and announcements. I think the trade is solidly behind that mindset as well, that if we get some real serious details and trade deals announced, Philippines being another one since the president of Philippines sat down with President Trump at a news conference today. I think these things could really tip the scales here in more the medium term and make it a lot less about the crop weather and more about that elusive commodity demand low because the trade is getting negotiated before the August 1st deadline.
Any thoughts on that livestock complex on Tuesday? Kind of a mixed bag there. Cattle worked off the lows, it looked like, here through Tuesday's session. But it also kind of feels like maybe traders positioning ahead of Friday's cattle on feed and the return of July cattle inventory report, Mike.
Yeah, I really think you hit it right there, Jesse. We're going to experience, I think, a lot more volatility as we get to the midweek trade starting Wednesday. We're probably already seeing it, as you say, today. We still have a 237 roughly cash price out there in the cattle country against a 224, 225 August futures. Still got a big discount in the futures. And that makes me wonder, will packers keep buying here as they did last week? Or will they go ahead and wait for the supply numbers? The biannual inventory report couldn't be more important right now, given the record prices of beef, given the fact that we're heading into the last part of the summer grilling season, and given especially the fact that USDA has made it very clear that they think there are enough calves and feeders that are not in feedlots, that are sitting back in pastures right now, that they will be coming in the second half of this year, first quarter of next year. And that's why they're giving us that 2% bump in the latest WASD report for 2026 beef production. I think the numbers are going to have to match up very, very clearly for the trade to buy into that with the Mexican border being shut. So the biennial cattle inventory report and the cattle on feed coming out both on the same day on Friday, I think is really good and it's really important.
Mike, appreciate the time. If folks want to reach out to you there, Global Commodity Analytics, what's the best way?
GlobalCommResearch.com, GlobalCom with two M's, Research.com. Take a look at what we do on the homepage. Sign up for a two-week, one of the pages there, and take a look at our analysis.
With that, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, joining us here on today's Market Wrap-Up for the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen.